Coming to you live from a sunny but sometimes windy meme land, we are
something.
We are the normies of the social justice kekpocalypse. We are the neurotypicals of Honey Badger Brigade. The few, the brave, the bitchy.
So few. But that's who we are. We have been abandoned by our fine leader, who seems to be, like, suffering some kind of fit of the vapors or some physical malady, or her back hurts or something. Go away, dog! Oh, my God. So Brian and I are filling in today.
Yes.
We are without the autist leash. We are free to roam as we will without Allison pulling us back on topic. So.
Wading into the lobster hordes with Rant Zerker number 106, boss fight, Ted Cruz versus Mark Zuckerberg on Facebook censorship.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching. I've been sort of having it play in the background the entire set of hearings, right? All the coverage. All day. And I am just, like, this is, I find it, like, the whole thing really, really interesting. And it's very pertinent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this one really struck me as quite interesting. So I think we should just dive right in.
Yeah, for sure. So actually, they're doing another hearing right now, I think, or they were earlier. So hopefully we didn't lose too much of the traffic. But if there are some good nuggets of gold in that stream, then I'll probably set up another thing like this. So in addition, so this, we're going to go for either an hour or until this stream is over, like the video we're going through. Whichever one comes first. And then in the after show, I'm doing another video from the same thing, which is Mark Zuckerberg trying to defend hate speech. And it's basically all it is the there's a lot of the Windows crash sound, you know, and like the restart that goes through my head as Mark Zuckerberg struggles to essentially define hate speech without making himself look like who he is. So,
yeah, well, I mean, and I do want to make it clear that there are two actual Senate committees here in this hearing, right? So one is dealing with online privacy, and the other one is dealing with elections, I believe, or something like that. So, or FEC, the FEC. As far as I know, like there are two different committees in this room right now, 44 people who are sitting on two different committees, basically dealing with two different problems. And so this is actually sort of you're going to see essentially a lot of stuff that's that wouldn't be necessarily included in a committee on or a commission on privacy. Or likewise wouldn't be necessarily included in the Commission on Electoral Standards and stuff like that, right? So essentially, and monopolies. So essentially it's a very, very, very broad hearing with a very broad number of topics that are going to be raised. So
yeah, they were all over the
place. Which is why I think everybody should watch it, actually, the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I was asked in the chat just now whether the hate speech thing is about Mark Zuckerberg defending hate speech or censoring hate speech. Well, this is about Mark Zuckerberg, I would say, trying to create a safe space on Facebook, which is like his goal. So it sounds to me like it's not really about defending hate speech, but rather defining it, because he's making the claim that, you know, hate speech should be monitored and, you know, edited or removed but without defining what hate speech actually means. So that's what we're going to be talking about in the after show. But, and I think you guys can guess where he stands on that. But this one, so this is why I call this boss fight, because this was probably where a person that was going after Zuckerberg was the most aggressive. And Ted Cruz does not play.
No. like no. Ted Cruz was a prosecutor, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a reputation for being like a mad dog, essentially just, and like being, you know, I will listen very, very carefully, and I will find that little chink in what you said, and then I will pry that open and all of your guts will spill out. So he had a reputation as a prosecutor for being, or as a lawyer anyway, for being extremely, well, it's kind of like when Harry Capito was telling me, you know, like there were times when I'd be cross-examining someone and people, you know, my assistant would say, like, enough, enough, there's enough blood on the floor, Harry. You know, but essentially that's Ted Cruz's background, and I would never want to be sitting in on a witness stand being cross-examined by Ted Cruz, ever.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the video. But for those of you who are watching, you might notice that the colors are a little off. That was on purpose. I also flipped it horizontally, so it's reversed. So you might see the print looks weird too. This video clip I got from a YouTube channel called 1791L. If you've never heard of 1791L, I suggest you check it out. It's actually a pretty good YouTube channel that I enjoy myself. All right, so let's go ahead and play the video.
Mr. Zuckerberg, does Facebook consider itself a neutral public forum?
Senator, we consider ourselves to be a platform for all ideas.
Let me ask the question again. Does Facebook consider itself to be a neutral public forum? And representatives of your company have given conflicting answers on this.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Okay, because the very first time he was trying to answer, it's a yes-no question.
Yep.
Right? Does Facebook consider itself to be a neutral public forum? And this is an important question. And Zuckerberg says, we consider ourselves some flowery phrase, right?
Yeah, that we're for everybody.
Isn't a yes or no answer, right? And so immediately Ted just jumps in there and says, like, that's not acceptable. I'm asking you a specific question. It's a yes or no question. So you need to answer it in that vein, right? And this is why I would never want to be on the witness stand.
No, that's why I called it boss fight.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, because this guy doesn't, Ted is like a pit bull. He doesn't let go. All right, so let us continue.
Are you a First Amendment speaker expressing your views, or are you a neutral public forum allowing everyone to speak?
There you go. Okay, so that's the thing. That is the, I mean, like, as far as I know, in terms of immunity from prosecution, say somebody uploads a video to YouTube that actually explicitly engages in threats, right, or incitement to violence or whatever. So immunity from prosecution, immunity from copyright violations, immunity from tort liability, right? Immunity from all of these things, right? Facebook has to actually not be a publisher. It has to be a platform, right, where people can self-publish, right? And so if they pick and choose what shows up and what does not, if they act as a gatekeeper as to what gets published, then they become a publisher. And then they become legally and criminally liable for what is said on their platform. Even if they didn't know it was there, even if they had no way of knowing it was there, even if they, you know, couldn't have known, and there's absolutely no way when you look at the number of minutes of video footage that are uploaded to YouTube every day, the number of posts that are posted on Facebook every fucking day, right? There's no way that they can put a human set of eyes on everything before some drone in the office hits the button, the publish button, right? They have to allow this to be, and the moment that they start moderating comments and moderating what gets published and what does not, that in particular, before it's published and then flagged and brought to their attention, right? What ends up happening is you have a situation where the platform is acting as a publisher, they lose their immunity from all of that liability. And they have to take responsibility for all the things that are said on their platform, which is why my comments are a free speech zone, right? It's why I don't moderate my comments or block users or delete anything unless it's actually illegal. Like the one guy who came on repeatedly under different alt accounts years and years ago and yelled, "Burn all the Jews and the feminists," on my YouTube channel, in the comments, right? But other than that, I don't take any responsibility for what's below the line. Everybody knows that. I have nothing to do with it. I don't take any responsibility for it. The moment that you start picking and choosing what gets published, particularly before it gets published, you are saying, right? So if you set all your comments to moderation, and then so you have to approve them before they get published, what ends up happening is you are essentially saying, "I endorse this comment."
Yes, right.
Yes. So this is the position that this is why Ted Cruz is essentially saying, is this platform about all the users being able to engage in their free speech rights, First Amendment rights, or is this your First Amendment platform personally? Right? Or your company's First Amendment platform. Because if it's that, then you have no immunity.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's just trying to nail it down. Okay, let's continue.
Senator, here's how we think about this. I don't believe that... there is certain content that clearly we do not allow. Right? Hate speech, terrorist content, nudity, anything that makes people feel unsafe in the community.
Well, how do you define hate speech? And actually, here's another thing. Did you know that recently Facebook, some women, I think, went on, or a woman on Facebook.
Free the nipple thing, yeah.
Yeah. But I think she basically told the Facebook that because she identifies as a man, then she should be able to show her bare chest, and to not allow her to do that is transphobic. And so they did. She got around it. And so she was able to show topless pictures of herself. And this is why it really gets into some sticky territory when you say, you know, there are some things that we clearly don't allow. And he opens up with something that is really difficult to define. And I think rightfully so, makes people cringe, and that is hate speech right off the bat, because like, what the fuck is hate speech, you know? Because I was suspended from Facebook for about 3 days or so because I said the word tranny in a private message to Blair White. So I was talking to Blair White and I said tranny, and I got blocked, or I got taken off of Facebook for like 3 days. And she and I were talking at the time, you know, she's really busy these days.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And that was, you know, they said it was for hate speech, essentially.
Warning. No, and I remember her and Theron went on a stream together once, or an interview or whatever, collab or whatever, that was called, you know, the Trannies of YouTube or something like that. Or the Politically Incorrect Trannies of YouTube. So, I mean, it's... I don't think that Blair White finds that to be hate speech, and
no.
You obviously didn't mean it in a hateful way, and it's like,
yeah,
okay.
I don't even know how you could use the word tranny in a hateful way that would be any worse than saying something that is not considered, you know, like I don't know, like pejorative for transgendered people in a really hateful way. Like, you could say some really hateful shit without saying tranny. And,
oh, yeah.
And you'd get away with it, right? But if you say tranny in an endearing way, you know.
I could say, never once using the word nigger, I could say those African Americans are completely inferior human beings.
Yeah.
And I want them all to, like, rot in hell. And I think that we should pick up our pitchforks and send them there. I could say all of that without using a single slur for black people.
Yeah. And that's why I say, like, the whole hate speech thing is just so vague because, you know, like, I personally don't think there's such a thing. But that's just me. But.
Well, but, you know, like, it was Facebook's algorithm that picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in a private message conversation, right? So it's not like it could have been flagged by anyone. I don't think Blair White would have flagged it because she's not a retard. Oh, wait, this video will be flagged because I used the word retard and that's hateful. So essentially it was an algorithm that was just scraping the entire site. And looking for specific keywords. So apparently now even transgender people aren't allowed to use the word tranny the way black people sometimes want to use the word nigger.
I was just thinking about that too, because like how would this, if that's the algorithm at work, I know black people who talk to black people use the word nigger a lot. So is the algorithm looking for the word nigga when it ends with an A or if it ends with a hard R? Is that how it works? Or does it depend on the race of the person using the word? Because otherwise, black people would be getting kicked off of Facebook all the time. Because it is very, it's in their common vernacular, at least, you know, here in the States, in the urban areas.
Well, maybe they have an algorithm to determine from profile pictures who's black and who's white, and therefore who has the right to use either nigga or nigger. And then therefore black people are allowed to use it, but white people can't. I don't know. Or maybe Asian people can't. Hispanic people, who knows? East Indian people, who knows, right? Bangladeshis, who knows? Because they're pretty brown, right? You, shipwrecked Mexican.
Shipwrecked Mexicans like me. Puerto Ricans say nigga all the time. We say it as much as black people
but
do.
But you're brown, so you can get away with it.
Yeah, so we can
right?
get away with it, yeah. It's like we're black enough because, you know, we usually have, we Puerto Ricans have about 30% African blood in them, about 30%. So,
yeah.
Okay, so I got a couple super chats and I guess we'll continue. Mr. Roboto gives us $2 and says, so is Facebook the new Nazi party? And Karan Strong gives us €2 and says, does my ass look big on this internet platform? All right, so let me go ahead and put the
thing
up.
Well, it certainly looks huge in that burqa, Karan Strong.
Yeah, so big that you probably deserve to get raped by a horde of men because it's just too tempting. Moving on.
From that perspective, that's why we generally try to refer to what we do as a platform for all ideas.
Let me try just because the time is constrained. It's just a simple question. The predicate for Section 230 immunity under the CDA is that you are a neutral public forum. Do you consider yourself a neutral public forum, or are you engaged in political speech, which is your right under the First Amendment?
Well, Senator, our goal is certainly not to engage in political speech. I'm not that familiar with the specific legal language of the law that you speak to, so I would need to follow up with you on that. I'm just trying to lay out how broadly I think about this.
Just pausing for the banana. Unless you
all
want
right.
to
are,
say
are you
anything.
Getting an echo or a reverberation from...
Oh, like from the audio?
From the audio.
You mean like an echo? I'm not getting an echo, but the sound is a little bit... Yeah, because I have it playing at a slightly slower speed.
So
this is all just to protect us from YouTube, the other... The other internet overlords. So,
yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think he's essentially put his, like Ted Cruz has put his foot down and said, there's only one way you can answer this question and stay on the right side of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But once you answer it, you know, we're going to have some things to say about your supposed neutrality.
Yes.
Because you're not. Right. So...
All right.
Mr. Zuckerberg, I will say there are a great many Americans who I think are deeply concerned that Facebook and other tech companies are engaged in a pervasive pattern of bias and political censorship. There have been numerous instances with Facebook. In May of 2016, Gizmodo reported that Facebook had purposely and routinely suppressed conservative stories from trending news, including stories about CPAC, including stories about Mitt Romney, including stories about the Lois Lerner IRS scandal, including stories about Glenn Beck. In addition to that, Facebook has initially shut down the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day page, has blocked a post of a Fox News reporter, has blocked over two dozen Catholic pages, and most recently blocked Trump supporters Diamond and Silk's page with 1.2 million Facebook followers after determining their content and brand were, quote, unsafe to the community.
Okay. Diamond and Silk. These are two angry fat black women, right? Or sassy,
super sassy black women,
sassy,
with wine glasses.
Women. Yeah. Yeah, who they were actually informal assistance with the Trump campaign. They sometimes went to rallies when they were able and would, before Trump would come out, they would actually get behind the podium and start warming up the crowd. They were absolute 100% Trump supporters, are, even though they're like, now they're wallowing in obscurity because of Facebook. But I was actually watching Fox interview with them just today, where, you know, they were telling their story and were like, yeah, no, this is, and they're like, okay, so where are you, if you can't do this on YouTube or on Facebook, where are you going to go? And they're like, no, we're sticking with Facebook. Facebook is going to get their shit together, right? You know, because, you know, and I don't care who's deciding, blah, 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 like, man up, buttercup, right? You're not going to block black conservative women's voices, right? And so I thought that that was quite hilarious. They were really angry and they got really feisty. And I played it for my son and he just kind of had his face in his hands the whole time. But essentially, these are black conservative women who have been deemed and they don't seem to use bad language, or at least not to the degree that I do. They don't promote hate. They're not engaged in criminal activity, right? These are two women who built up this Facebook page, right? And this following of 1.2 million people, right? From the ground up, totally grassroots, apparently. And Facebook started to throttle their stuff back in September. It took them 6 months. They kept on getting different answers from Facebook as to why all their numbers were down, why their followers weren't getting notifications of when they posted, things like that. And then finally, just the other day, they got a response from Facebook saying, we've deemed your page and your brand as unsafe to the community. And no justification, no saying, you know, why that is, nothing, right? Why they're unsafe. And so essentially what we're looking at, and I don't know if Zuckerberg is aware of this, right? I'm prepared to maybe give him the benefit of the doubt on a lot of this stuff and say this is like individual actors within the company who are doing things without authorization. I'm willing to entertain that excuse, but that doesn't mean that the things themselves are not happening, and it's very clear that they are. So
yeah, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but I do want to ultimately conclude with the reason why this is important to us, because there are probably people in the comment sections asking, you know, this isn't a men's issue, why are we, you know, talking about this? But it is important to Honey Badger Radio. I think this is a really pertinent conversation, not just for HBR, but for anybody who is interested in hearing these kind of unpopular voices that appear to be getting, pushed to the back, if not outright censored by these big tech companies.
It's not that they're unpopular, though. It's not that they're unpopular. They're unpopular within a specific subset of the population, right, who happen to be the people who are often in charge of these tech companies. Yeah.
Okay, so let us continue.
To a great many Americans, that appears to be a pervasive pattern of political bias. Do you agree with that assessment?
Senator, let me say a few things about this. First, I understand where that concern is coming from because Facebook and the tech industry are located in Silicon Valley, which is an extremely left-leaning place. And
yeah, absolutely. And it's worse than that, though. It'd be one thing if the folks in California or Commifornia, whatever you want to call it, Silicon Valley, etc., were just left-wing in terms of their politics. But it's worse than that. It's their largely highly polarized and intolerant of people that not necessarily are not like, it's not even that they're intolerant of people that are right wing. They're intolerant of people who aren't as far left as they are. So because there are people like in the middle and even to the left and all that, that are also dealing with all this shit. I mean, Sargon was permanently banned from Twitter. Owen Benjamin was permanently suspended from Twitter, and he is, you know, super chill, not at all like radical or anything. So this isn't, it's not just that it's far left. Zuckerberg, it's worse than that.
Well, it's essentially anyone to the left of Marx is a neocon, right? Super ultra right winger. There's an extremely authoritarian bent to a lot of it, that exists on both ends of the horseshoe. I mean, you're gonna find right wingers who deny that, but I'm sorry. Power seeks to preserve itself. The best way to do that is through controlling speech and ideas, right? So, which is why the U.S., who had to fight their way, out of being a colony and actually fight a war to boot what they consider to be a hostile government out and fight a revolution, okay, in order to set up a democracy. And Britain was not a democracy at the time, and it didn't want anything to do with democracy at the time. It was Benjamin Disraeli said, "I hope that we will never, as Britons, be cursed to live under a democracy." And that was in, 18-something, right? 1860-something, 67 or something like that. And so we're looking at a country that, you know, has established within the Constitution an absolute right, a near absolute right to free speech, and a near absolute right to bear arms. And specifically so that they don't actually end up with an authoritarian government. That is essentially what those two amendments are for. Right? That's what they're for. And so, and then the separation of powers and all of the entire government and the Constitution of the United States was set up toward a specific end, which was so that there would never be an authoritarian government able to establish itself and oppress the people, oppress its subjects or its citizens, right? So essentially, everything else is secondary to that, right? Which is why I think this is important. And it's important to men's rights activists because, of course, do you think that Southern Poverty Law Center, who, by the way, congratulate me, named me specifically on their website.
Male supremacist.
Male supremacist enabler.
Oh, enabler. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I'm a female male supremacist enabler.
You just sit back and let the male supremacists supreme all over the place.
Yeah, they supreme all over my face and everything. But so essentially, like, do you think that they would not shut me down if they had the chance? If they had the power to do it? If they had the power to say, you know, Karen's drawn, her channel should be throttled. Her channel should, her entire channel should be put in a limited state. Do you think that they would not do that?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. That's the reason why I thought this was important, because, you know, the Diamond and Silk haven't been, you know, put into some list by the SPLC, and they've been taken off of Facebook. And I know that Mark Zuckerberg isn't Google or Twitter, but they're all in the same, you know, they go to the same parties, like they likely know each other. They the culture is the same. So it's only a matter of time before, well, I think, you know, unless something changes, this will happen to you. Absolutely. It'll happen to you. It'll happen to us. It'll happen to, you know, very reasonable people. So,
yeah. And it is, and it's part of not just the culture of the, you know, the people who are the CEOs of these companies, but also the culture of the people who tend to work for them, right? Who tend to be very left wing. They tend to be very feministy, social justice-y, blah, blah, blah. Just look at, you know, James Damore and that whole fiasco. He didn't get fired because he pissed off the boss, right? His internal memo was there, out there circulating in the company, within the company. It had been brought to the attention of his bosses, his superiors, and they took no action because there was nothing actionable in it until some flaming fucking SJW decided to leak it to the public. And then there was this big media storm, and then Google decided, oh, fuck, we have to do something about it. Fire him now, shred everything.
Yeah. Tyler Preston asked, who even takes the SPLC seriously anymore? Well, I'll tell you. Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Keep that in mind.
And these companies are like, and you might say, okay, well, but then there's Instagram.
The right? government of UK.
Facebook owns Instagram, right? Facebook acquired Instagram. So like what you have is, and Facebook, YouTube, Google, and Twitter are all different services. They all offer social media platforms, but they all offer slightly different services, right? And so there is actually no 100% direct competitor to Facebook. YouTube cannot do everything that Facebook does for somebody who is used to Facebook. You know, Twitter cannot do everything that YouTube does. So these are actually like in the pure, and one of the most amazing things is that, like the monopoly on the market, is just incredible. So, like on the market in terms of advertisers and stuff like that. So what you're looking at is, or a duopoly, I guess, is a situation where you have these giant behemoths who are actually, they are providing services to like 2 billion people, Facebook, 2 billion people. There is nothing that compares to that, that offers what Facebook offers that could emerge now.
No.
Now that Facebook is established.
Unless a Russian Facebook suddenly becomes, because, you know, there's a Russian Facebook and a Chinese Facebook. Unless those explode. But I think they're probably more authoritarian than our Facebook. So I don't think we want those.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, and when you look at it, like John D. Rockefeller had to have, like he was in adjusted dollars. This was in the late 1800s. Right. In adjusted dollars, he was an 85 billionaire. $85 billion. And the government made him break up his monopoly because he owned everything to do with petroleum in the entire United States. And then some. And so what, and he owned it, you know, he owned this company and that company and that company and that company. Oh, it's not all one company, except it's all owned by one person.
Wasn't the Monopoly right? Man based on him, or was it based on JP Morgan? I think it was maybe JP Morgan.
JP Morgan, yeah. But I mean, we're looking at you know, Facebook just they acquired Instagram, right? They're consolidating smaller or smaller but viable social media platforms into their kind of empire. Dog, you're not part of this conversation. They're consolidating their power under, you know, a smaller and smaller and smaller number of bigger and bigger and bigger corporate monopolies. Same thing with news in the U.S. It's owned by, I think, 90% of the news coverage in the U.S. Is provided by 6 corporations. This is happening throughout the culture in the U.S.
Not
right?
just the news, but like all of our media comes from a very small number of corporations. Like in one, we're all connected to something larger, you know, that sort of is the umbrella. And, but we got to get, because we're only about 2 and 11 minutes.
Let's go halfway through the video.
So, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's continue.
And this is actually a concern that I have and that I try to root out at the company, is making sure that we don't have any bias in the work that we do. And I think it is a fair concern that that people would wonder about.
Let me ask this now, question. Are you aware of any ad or page that has been taken down from Planned Parenthood?
That was too long of a pause. All right.
Are you aware of any ad that's been taken down by from Planned Parenthood? No, he's not, because it would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Senator, I'm not, but let me just...
How about moveon.org?
Sorry?
How about moveon.org?
I'm not specifically aware of those.
How about any Democratic candidate for office?
I'm not specifically aware. I mean, I'm not sure.
In your testimony, you said...
Well, I can understand. I can understand why he has to say that. He's not aware of anything like that, right? That doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but he's not aware of it. He's not aware of it having had happened, right? You have to say, I don't know, right? You have to say, I don't know if you don't know. So, dog, I'm going to kill you. Okay, you play the video. I'm going to, like, grab this dog while you're playing the next bit.
All right, I'll play the next bit. Okay. Those sounds are not my computer, guys. That's Mark Zuckerberg making those noises.
Have 15 to 20,000 people working on security and content review. Do you know the political orientation of those 15 to 20,000 people engaged in content review?
No, Senator. We do not generally ask people about their political orientation when they're joining the company.
So as CEO, have you ever made hiring or firing decisions based on political positions or what candidates they supported?
No.
Why was Palmer Luckey fired?
That is a specific personnel matter that seems like it would be inappropriate.
You just made...
Yeah.
Palmer Luckey, for those of you guys who don't know, he was the guy who invented the Oculus Rift. I believe Facebook owns that product. I think it's the Oculus. It's a VR thing, for sure, because I think they're trying to bring VR into Facebook. So, yeah. And this might actually not be all that relevant, but Ted Cruz is asking some pretty pointed questions. And even if he doesn't get an answer, this is the thing that I think is actually pretty brilliant. Even if he doesn't get an answer, and even if Mark Zuckerberg is totally honest and says, you know what, I think that's a personal thing that's not related to this or whatever, it gets everybody else thinking about those questions, you know, So, and maybe those are good questions we should be thinking about.
I think so. You know, like, honestly, when he has 15 to 20,000 employees that are actually, you know, picking through the flagged stuff and the things that need reviewing for hate speech and all of this shit, and he's never asked any of them what their political affiliation is, however, he's pulled them from an employee pool that he says is very left-wing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I better read some super chats because I forgot about them for a second here. Zerangs gives us $5 and says, that moment when a leftist challenges their rhetoric of Republicans are racist. And Mr. Roboto gives us $2 and says, isn't Mark Z's wife CEO feminist, thus political? Yes. Sandberg, her name is? I can't remember her first name, though. Sandberg. She Sheryl Sandberg, right. She started the Ban Bossy campaign,
but,
I guess.
But the problem with that is that essentially feminism has not been officially classified as a political wing or stance. It's an advocacy movement for women, but it's not. It's apparently bipartisan and all of that. So it's not a political party. It's not a religion, even though it is.
It's neither of those things, even though it totally is. Yeah.
Well, and when V asked me, you know, like, who would you rather, you know, a Christian president or a feminist president? And I said, I would 100 evangelical, you know, super fundamentalist Christian president. And I said, absolutely the Christian one. And he's like, how come? And I said, because there's separation of church and state, but there's no separation of feminism and state. So there are at least some controls placed on what a Christian, fundamentalist Christian president could do and get away with. And none of those controls apply to feminism.
Yep. Besides, you guys have a feminist prime minister. How's that going?
Oh, crap. Don't get me started. Okay. He has really nice hair.
Yeah. All right, continuing.
It is a specific representation that you didn't make decisions based on political views.
Well, I can commit that it was not because of a political view.
Do you know of those 15 to 20,000 people engaged in content review? How many, if any, have ever supported financially a Republican candidate for office?
Senator, I do not know that.
Your testimony says it is not enough that we just connect people. We have to make sure those connections are positive. It says we have to make sure people aren't using their voice to hurt people or spread misinformation. We have a responsibility not just to build tools, to make sure those tools are used for good. Mr. Zuckerberg, do you feel it's your responsibility to assess users, whether they are good and positive connections or ones that those 15 to 20,000 people deem unacceptable or deplorable?
There you go. Bam. Boom. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you say, and this is the thing, right? This is the thing. Even if you say, we feel like we have a responsibility to make tools and incur and ensure that they're used for good rather than evil, you have given up your neutrality. Because who decides what's good and what's evil? And, you know, if you're 15 to 20,000. Almost 90% probably left-wing employees who handpick what gets throttled and what doesn't. If they all think that anybody who supports Trump is bad, or anybody who votes Republican is bad, you know, or anybody who is pro-life is bad, right? Just by default, then. Yeah, like they're gonna, you saying we need to make sure that this is used for good, not for evil, they're gonna take liberties. They're gonna think you're giving them permission to silence voices that probably 50% of the population of the United States don't consider evil.
Yeah, and then you have to define evil. Like if you say, well, we gotta use this platform for good. Okay, so now we know that you have a stated goal. So what is it that this means when you say we have to? Because it sounds very nice, you know, looks good on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt. But what does it mean? Well, that means that you have to, like, protect the good people on Facebook from the evil people on Facebook or the evil content. Okay, well, what is the evil content? How do you define the evil content? Well, let's ask around. Let's find out what is evil. Well, okay, so you get some reasonable stuff. Well, maybe there shouldn't be people recruiting for ISIS. or Boko Haram on Facebook. All right, well, I guess, yeah, that's probably something we should be aware of. There probably shouldn't be people who are exposing or doxing other people so that you can go and do physical harm to them or rob them or whatever. Okay, that's reasonable too. But then you're going to get people that are just like, I don't think misogyny should be on Facebook. I don't think racism should be on Facebook.
And what's freaking misogyny?
Yeah, and what's like, misogyny?
How watered down is that term now?
Yeah, exactly. You
know, like, if I say, no, he wasn't mansplaining, right? I'm a misogynist. Like, Noel Plum did a video. He was like, you could search Noel Plum's channel for tinfoil hat Steve Shives. Where Steve Shives was describing a situation where a friend of his had, she had emailed somebody, a business connection or something like that, requesting a specific thing, and he didn't get back to her for 2 days. And then a male colleague emailed with the same request, and he got back to her in 20 minutes. And he got back to the man in 20 minutes. And I'm sure that we've all had this happen, right? Where you, like, emails get buried. They just get buried. If you're busy or not paying attention or they hit your spam box or my email client likes to mark a whole bunch of different types of emails as already read, so I might not have realized that I hadn't read them. Just when they land in my inbox, they're already read. They've been already read. I haven't even opened them. So we have all of these reasons why that could happen that have nothing to do with the fact that this man that she was writing to, emailing, requesting this thing, is sexist against women and actually jumps to attention for a man. All kinds of reasons that could... But according to Steve Shives, even considering that there could possibly be an innocent explanation for it, means you are part of the problem. It means you are engaging in sexism and misogyny. Because you are defending somebody who was sexist by default. Because email.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget, again, Sandberg is the CEO of Facebook and a feminist. So that means that, you know, she's the one in charge. She probably, that means that her team, that's their mindset. Like, you know.
No, she's the COO.
Oh, COO. Well, still, yeah. Way up there, you know.
Because Zuckerberg is the CEO. She's the COO or the CFO? I think she's the COO.
Okay.
Chief Operations Officer.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, yeah.
So, again, we're getting into really murky territory because we're working with hate, like stuff that is considered to be hateful or evil that God knows, you know, like who is defining this and then acting on it. And that's why this is really, really troublesome stuff. So, and one other thing I wanted to say that I got to criticize Donald Trump because he knew that this stuff was going on with Facebook and what happened with Diamond Silk. He had to know because I think they were big on promoting him to the point where it got his attention. And he has not said anything about this at all. Meanwhile, Ted Cruz is you know, making the rounds here with this, specifically with this bit. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's basically doing this to get ready for the 2020 election. And I think that it's kind of a missed opportunity for the Donald to comment on what's been going on since the internet, largely social media, was the way in which he was able to gain popularity. So
yeah, and I honestly, I think if Ted Cruz wants to run again, I would that would actually make me happy because I just think that somebody with a mind that sharp would be. You know, regardless of where they stand on every single thing, somebody with a mind that sharp would be good in office. So,
yeah. Well, I think, you know, because if you see what he's doing, what he's been, you know, getting involved with, it's definitely like it looks good for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he did try to run again in 2020. I wouldn't be surprised. Especially with if this Facebook stuff keeps going and he keeps fighting on behalf of, you know, like the again with the people who want the platforms on social media and he's involved with that, it's gonna increase his popularity. Plus his appearances on Steven Crowder don't hurt either. So, all right. Anyway, that's an aside. Mostly I'm just, you know, expressing my disappointment in Donald Trump for not saying anything about this, because this is important stuff. I don't care where you are politically, but this is important stuff. So, all right, moving on.
Senator, you're asking about me personally?
Facebook.
Senator, I think that there are a number of things that we would all agree are clearly bad. Foreign interference in our elections, terrorism, self-harm.
I'm talking about censorship.
I think that you would probably agree that we should remove terrorist propaganda from the service. So,
what is terrorist propaganda?
I know. I apparently engage in terrorism. I remember one feminist writing to me in an email way, way ages ago. And she said, are you aware that you're involved with a terrorist organization when you involve yourself with the Voice for Men? And I was like, can you link me to some evidence of terroristic activities, terrorism? And she linked me to a conversation that she had under I don't know whether it was maybe called the Happy Misogynist at that time, but Paul Elam's channel, where she said, so what is it? Because they would just come out with, A Voice for Men had just come out with a new slogan, fuck their shit up, right? And so she said, so what's it going to, which is it? Are you going to walk away, MGTOW, or FTSU, fuck our shit up, right? And he said, feminism depends on men's tax dollars. So walking away is fucking your shit up. And she claimed that that was a terroristic threat. That answer.
Of course.
So not getting free stuff is terrorist propaganda. Like saying, we don't want to give you free shit is apparently terrorist propaganda to some people, right?
Yeah, and that's just it. Like he says, terrorist propaganda. And my first thought, when I first heard him say that, I thought of like, you know, like actual Islamic terrorist groups recruiting, I don't know, recruiting the disenfranchised to help them fight against the West or whatever. But then I thought of Antifa, they have Facebook pages and they're still up
there. By any means necessary.
You know, by any means necessary, you know, is still up there. AJ Plus, I know that they're not terrorists themselves, but they're funded by the Qatar and, you know, like by the same logic of this sort of guilt by association. Al Jazeera Plus shouldn't be there. They should be gone, but they're still up there, you know, and they're not just up there, but they're huge. And the Young Turks are still up there. Again, I know that they're also, I believe, fun. They have like some Middle Eastern backers too. But the point is that you can see that this isn't really what's happening. Either that or they're just not applying the shit universally, which is, you know, basically the same thing. All right. Moving on.
That, I agree, I think is clearly bad activity that we want to get down. And we're generally proud of how well we do with that. Now, what I can say, and I do want to get this in before the end here, is that I am very committed to making sure that Facebook is a platform for all ideas. That is a very important founding principle of what we do. We're proud of the discourse and the different ideas that people can share on the service. And that is something that, as long as I'm running the company, I'm going to be committed to making sure is the case.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Cruz.
All right. That's pretty much the end of the video.
There you go. Well, you know, honestly, when you sort of look at the, you know, the entirety, and like I said, this has all been playing in the background for me all day. When I haven't been, you know, busy on other stuff. And it's, you know, when you look at, there was also, you know, an issue with, cause a lot of what this is all about is the, Cambridge Analytic, scandal, right? So essentially, somebody made an app for Facebook using Facebook's API, and the terms of service, which they had for their app, essentially said, you know, by clicking on these terms of service, you're agreeing to have, you know, share your information with this app and its makers to use for anything, anywhere, for any reason whatsoever, right? So clearly someone was asleep at the switch at Facebook for allowing this app to be marketed and to interface with Facebook's API, right?
Yeah.
And so essentially, and it was a quiz or questionnaire or something like that. And so, and then that person who made that app sold that to Cambridge. And then apparently that was used to do a direct marketing campaign, targeted marketing campaign to specific users on Facebook in terms of promoting news stories, fake news, you know, promotional videos, promotional stuff for a specific candidate, i.e. Donald Trump, right? But apparently there was a woman who worked on the Obama campaign in 2012 who said, oh yeah, Facebook, she tweeted, yeah, Facebook was surprised when we were able to pull all of this data that they hadn't authorized us to pull from them, but they didn't stop us when they realized that we were doing it because, in their words, they were on our side.
Yep.
You know, and that might not have been Zuckerberg himself, because I know what it's like when you're, you know, you if you own a company with thousands and thousands and thousands of employees, you're not, you can't watch, micromanage every single fucking one of them, right? But somebody somewhere was like, oh yeah, no, have all the data. Yeah, no, take it and use it to do targeted marketing for your campaign through our website. That would be great because you know what? I love Obama. So essentially what we have is, I think personally, I think is something even worse in terms of, you know, if you wanted to look at that one person who made that app, right? He was a single player. He was not an employee of Facebook. He was not anybody. If Facebook had realized, you know, the terms of service, if they had been paying attention, they were careless, right? Or they overlooked it, right? But it was somebody outside of Facebook doing something malfeasant to take data, to feed it, to influence an election, right? But when you have somebody within Facebook who has the level of rank that they would have to oversee the Democratic candidates' campaigns' use of or pulling of data from Facebook, when you have that person who's probably fairly highly situated in the company saying, yeah, no, take it all, it's fine, yeah, use it however you like, even though we're not supposed to be giving it to you, that is really the problem. That's, I mean, it's one thing to say, I got tricked into, you know, helping somebody commit a crime. It's another thing to say, yeah, I actually helped somebody intentionally and knowingly helped somebody commit a crime.
Mm-hmm. I would right. say the most, if I was going to be as generous as possible to Mark Zuckerberg, I would go with what you were saying. You know, the company is so big with so many employees that he highly likely does not know what's going on at that level. And I wouldn't be surprised if even Sandberg didn't know what was going on at that level or didn't think that it was worthy of notice. because maybe it was just too small, because like how many people are on Facebook, right? And when you have that number, many employees, I think what happens is the ones that are working within specific departments, they start to form little, like, you know, whether on purpose or not, they form little cabals or little groups that, you know,
bubbles.
Bubbles, right. And then those bubbles have their little, you know, their belief system. And if they're allowed to apply and they believe that their belief system isn't necessarily, you know, partisan, or that they actually believe that it's simply common sense. So they just go, they act on that. You know, if I was going to be as charitable as possible, I would go that far as to say, yeah, he's probably unaware. And then now that he is aware, the way we would know whether or not this is something that he wasn't aware of is if he goes in and makes a lot of changes. If he goes in and cleans house and says, okay, this shit has to stop because this is not what I wanted, and I'm going to start firing people, or I'm going to make some, you know, and I'm going to make some drastic changes. If it doesn't change, then we know where he stands. That's basically, like, you know, how I would put it.
Yeah, no, he has an opportunity to act. And, you know, like, there was a senator who from this committee who was interviewed on Tucker Carlson, who said, you know, like, literally, you know, do I think that we need to step in and regulate? Do I think that we need to actually step in and impose regulations on Facebook, turn it into a utility, and make sure that it operates in a fair and impartial manner? Not necessarily, right? But when he was questioning Zuckerberg, he said, you know, I'm looking forward to a list of suggestions, not just from you, but from YouTube, from Google, from, you know, all Twitter, from all of these. So you guys all know each other, right? On what you are going to do to self-regulate, because and a list of standards that you are willing to actually put yourself behind, right? So essentially that, you know, like, I don't know whether that's going to be good enough, because it all depends on what Zuckerberg does, right? You know, like, he'll send that list of standards off. Maybe he'll be like, oh fuck, I got to do something and clean house and drain his particular swamp and convince the other tech companies to do so. But, the other social media companies, but that's not necessarily going to be the case. And if it isn't, then I don't know. I think maybe the government needs to step in and break up the monopolies, or impose a regulatory standard. And frankly, I would rather just see the government step in and break up the monopolies and say, yeah, no, you can't. Facebook, you can't own Instagram anymore, because that's not okay. You know, and Google, you can't own YouTube anymore. And ABC, Alphabet, you can't own fucking Google anymore, right? Like, you guys can't all be in each other's freaking, you know, anuses, you know, like some kind of fucked up conga line hell.
The ANCAPs, right? Are going to be mad. Okay, go ahead.
You know, but you can't do that. Like, you can't. The reason why I would prefer that solution is to actually make the ANCAPs not as mad, because the ANCAPs have to realize that there's a problem here. Right? They have to realize that there's a problem with monopolies, corporate monopolies. Absolutely they do. And one of the things that they don't want is government regulation, because government regulation actually reinforces monopolies. Government regulation squeezes out the little guy. He can't afford to bypass all the red tape. He can't afford all of the licenses he needs. He can't afford to actually put out the outlay to get his shit off the ground. Because there are too many regulations, too many hoops to jump through, too many this, too many that, right? And so if you actually want competition, what you need is to not have a handful, 5 or 6 billionaires own every single internet platform in existence.
Yeah. Well, I'd be open to hear what the solution
that's
is.
What
I
anti- got- that's what antitrust laws are for. Mm-hmm. Right. And so essentially, you know, honestly, it's like break up the fucking monopoly. Do it. Forcibly break it up.
All right. Let me read some super chats. Arctic Master 1190 gave us $4.99 and did not put a comment. I hope that he meant to do it that way, because if you meant to comment on that money, I didn't get it, and so I don't have anything to read. Maybe you can put a comment in the chat, and I'll try to catch it, and I'll just treat it as though it's the one that's supposed to go with this. Karan Strong gave us €2 and says, the Young Turks is a terrorist organization. Fact. Darren Hightower III gives us $2 Canadian and doesn't say anything. Same thing to you. If you wanted to say something, go ahead. Otherwise, thank you very much for the donation. French Honey Badger, we have Ann Capistan on the line, gives us $5 and says, Mark Zuckerberg asked to be regulated. He is losing users. Regulation would increase the costs on their competitors. Do not fall for the trap. French Honey Badger gives us another
$5. See, there you go. There you go. What did I say? What did I say? Break up the monopoly. Don't fall for the trap of regulation. Just break up the monopoly. Break up, like, make Zuckerberg sell off Instagram. Make Google sell off YouTube. Make Alphabet sell off Google. Make them break up the way they did with John D. Rockefeller back in the, you know, at the turn of the last century. Do that. Because if you impose regulations, it squeezes out anybody who's trying to break into the market.
Okay. French Honey Badger gives us another $5. He's been giving us some super chats. Thank you, French Honey Badger, for that. Saying, Facebook is not a monopoly. Stop buying this bullshit. Only states create monopolies. Remove their subsidies. Reduce regulations. And he gives us another $5.
Facebook has no competitors at the moment that offer the exact same fucking service at the exact same freaking level. At least, I suppose, you know, if I were to, like, go on Gab or Minds or something like that, right, and invite all my family to do that, and we were able to do that, we could, like, have our little circle of 30 people, right, and we could do exactly what Facebook started out as. But Facebook has gained a monopoly status simply by the fact that it has 2 billion users. Right? That is what gives it its monopoly. Right? And it's buying up other freaking social media platforms. Right? That is establishing an even bigger monopoly. Now they don't just control Facebook, they control Instagram. Right? So, it's a monopoly. It's not necessarily a monopoly that was, like, coerced by the government. It's not a government monopoly, but it's still a monopoly. It's still somebody who commands almost the entirety of the market. And if you look at ads, okay, those ads on web pages, 90% of ads the ads that you see every day on the internet go through Facebook or they go through Google. Google and Facebook control 90% of the advertising on the internet.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that Mark said that that's not what's happening, that they don't have that level of info. But I'm telling you, I have had conversations with my wife without a device. Like, I wasn't using a device to look things up. We would just be talking about something either in person or on the phone, and I'd be like, oh, I'm interested in this item. And then I'll go to Facebook and then I'll see ads for the shit I just was talking about. I'll be like, what the fuck? That is creepy as shit. Not just like,
that
you
is,
know, it's happened where I've gone
creepy
to,
as shit.
Yeah, where I've gone to Amazon and I've looked something up on Amazon. Then I go to Facebook and the thing I was looking up on Amazon is there. I've had that happen.
I want to clarify that what he was saying wasn't that they don't exploit that information to target ads at people. It was that they don't sell or give the information, data to the advertisers, so that the advertisers can target it. No, they keep it in house, and they ask the advertisers, "Who do you want us to target?" And then they use the data that's in house to target the advertisers' ads at specific. So that was what he was getting at. But yeah, no, it's. I'm blown away by, you know, like the idea that something couldn't end up being a monopoly. I mean, like when you look at the history of the United States and Canada, the history of company towns and things like that, of course there are monopolies that can form. Company towns, look them up if you've never heard about them. That, you know, you worked for the factory in the town. They paid you almost enough to rent your company house, right, and shop at the company store. They didn't pay you in cash. They paid you in vouchers that were only good to pay rent on a company house and, you know, and buy goods at the company store. So essentially what they were able to do was, like, essentially make these tiny little nation states with their own currencies that an ability to, once they lured people in there to work and to, you know, get a house and everything, they would keep them poor enough that there was no way that they could get out of that situation, right? And so, like, there are such things as just monopolies that occur on their own. If there was no government, you could have a monopoly and be unable to escape from under it just by what the monopoly decides it's going to pay you, what it's going to charge you, and that it owns everything in the surrounding area and will sue you or whatever if you try to leave because you owe us money. So it's, you know, the free market can't take care of everything. And I do think that there is such a thing as a monopoly like Facebook that can arise even without. And I do think if it's getting government subsidies, it should stop getting those. But I think that breaking it up and breaking Google up would be a better solution. If something needs to be done, that's the solution I would pick rather than applying a whole bunch of regulations.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read through the rest of these super chats. We got a bunch from French Honey Badger, but let's not respond to them. Not because I don't want to. I just don't want the stream to go too long.
It's going to go for another 90 minutes if we respond to that.
Yeah,
it's
going to keep. Besides, that's not really. That's not really the point of the video. We're talking about Facebook specifically, and it just sort of, this is a bit of a tangent. So with all respect, if you guys want to continue the conversation about, you know, what is there a problem with monopolies? And if so, what? And then what is the solution? Can you fix it with, do you need the state? Can you do it without the state? Just do that in the comments section. All right, let me read the rest of these comments. Let's see. French Honey Badger gave us $5 and says, how to solve a problem, make it worse by involving the state. Antitrust laws have always been used to stifle competition, never to make it fair. Then he gives us another $10 and says, John D. Rockefeller was not a monopolist. By the time Standard Oil was broken up, he only had 20% of the market. OMG, we need to break up Apple because they have a monopoly on iPhones. Average Joe gives us £2 and says, keep up the good work, Badgers. Then French Honey Badger gives us two more. $10 and says, monopolies can only be created by the state. Facebook is losing users. Study your history. The people called robber barons were not the ones targeted by the narrative. Then gives us another $10 and says, people were poor at the time. Capital investments were low. If there were alternatives that were worth it to escape those towns, then the people would have done it. But there weren't. Okay. So I know we're going to be doing an after show, and I'm pretty sure French Honey Badger will be in there because he is one of our patrons. So you guys can continue the discussion there if you like. I think he will be
on. After show? I told you no after show. God damn it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm doing one, but it'll be short. We're doing the other video, which is
okay,
Mark Zuckerberg trying to define hate speech.
I'm so fucking tired. Like,
I understand. I know.
You were I was up at 7 a.m. on Steve Gruber's show in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Steve Gruber? Well, we'll have to check it out sometime.
Right-wing radio. That's I've been getting nothing but, like, you know, maybe 6-8 things a week where I have to go on right-wing radio. And it's always morning fucking radio shows. You know, so it's like 8 a.m. Eastern time.
Right-wing people get up early in the morning, I think.
Yeah,
I could see that.
It's, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, and it's like, oh, that's 6:30 a.m. my time. What the fuck? So now I have to be coherent. So now I have to be up at like 5 and drink a bunch of coffee. So it's just like, oh my God. Well, and I just,
for the sake of balance though, guys, if you're wondering why is Karen appearing on so many right-wing shows, she's also going to be on BuzzFeed. And I think one BuzzFeed is like the equivalent of like 10 right-wing shows. So it balances out. There's equality there.
Yeah, BuzzFeed has, I also did a bunch of stuff for Viceland. But I don't know. I don't even know if it's aired yet or not. I have no idea. It airs on HBO. I did that back in September. And then this BuzzFeed thing, they I'm going to Montreal for a conference, for a panel discussion with Paul Nathanson and Janice Fiamengo on feminism for the Civitas, which is essentially like a liberty-minded civic organization, think tank type thing. But they, you know, it's, they don't generally deal with feminism or social justice stuff. It's not usually, it's not something so it's like a virgin audience. So it's like, yeah, I'll do it. So we're going to do a panel discussion on, you know, feminism in the West and what its status is and what needs to happen. And, Paul Nathanson and Janice Fiamengo are both, really, dear to me. So it's going to be great. That's in Montreal on the 29th. If anybody's in Montreal on the 29th and can afford to go or something like that. But then on the 30th, BuzzFeed is flying me to Toronto to their Canadian headquarters. And
is BuzzFeed going to be at this Montreal thing too? Or are they okay. All right.
Yeah, no, they said they wanted to talk to men's rights activists and they wanted to specifically talk to me. And so they said, if you can be in Toronto, and we figured it out. And so the day after the panel discussion, I'm flying to Toronto to do an interview with them.
Yeah.
And then, then I'm going to fly home at the end of the day.
May I suggest watch a lot of Jordan Peterson debates to prepare yourself, because they're going to try to do that shit to you. And I will also like to add that this is a very good thing, because BuzzFeed and Vice and these other sites, they are no longer able to dismiss or ignore us. They have to deal with us. And that is a very, very promising thing.
When I talked to them in the preliminary phone interview, I said, okay, like, you can make a hit piece. That's fine. I'll still do it. Like, I don't care. And then they both laughed, right? Both of the producers. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not joking. Like, I'll still do it. Even if I know you're going to talk shit about me and lie about me, I'll still do it. But, you know, you guys need to consider that as long as you keep your fingers in your ears and keep going, la, 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 we can't hear you, right? You're going to allow the right to own all of these issues, and they're legitimate issues. And frankly, I've been on 8 right-wing talk radio shows this week. And all of them, all of the interviews I gave were positively received by the host, right? Nobody tried to put words in my mouth or portray me as something awful, right? So you guys need to actually sit down and have a think as to who you want to own these issues, to have the moral high ground on these issues, because, you know, right now it ain't you. And I think that the one producer actually seems to think that that's valid.
You should record it yourself, like Project Veritas.
Oh, yeah.
I think you should.
The host of this show, apparently, is Sachi Cole, who did a interview. She was on a panel on the National, CBC's The National's Sunday Talk on MRAs.
I know who that
Sachi
is.
Sachi Cole. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Goldenberg or something like that, and Jonathan Kay. And they were talking about MRAs. So the guy who they picked to represent MRAs was Jonathan Kay, who's a conservative who knows nothing about MRAs, did a fairly decent job of not being a cunt, right? But And Saatchi Kuol was like, I'm just worried about all the transphobia in the men's rights movement. And the very day that that video was uploaded to YouTube, you can go search it, I was being introduced to a full lecture hall at Simon Fraser University by the president of their Advocacy for Men and Boys Society, Theron Meyer, a trans woman. So, yeah, it was quite the irony there. So I just, like, Saatchi Kuol, the producer, John, said that when he suggested the show topic to her, she made a face. But he convinced her.
Uh-huh. So, oh, this should be... This gonna be good. I will get popcorn, but
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So anyway, we're gonna go ahead and wrap up and go to the after show where we will be looking at the other video. If you want to join us in the after show, please consider becoming a patron. That is at www.patreon.com/honeybadgerradio. And yes, thanks for joining us on this Rant Zerker. As you can see, we got it in under. Well, originally we were in under an hour, and now we're close to an hour and a half, but that's okay. I have been Brian Martinez, Altana Volt.